Thank you, brother. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 22. Last time we looked at some aspects of Revelation 22, 1 through 5. And today, Revelation 22, 6 through 15. And if you'll just stand with me, we'll read one verse. We'll read our theme verse and then just go to a word of prayer. This pardon me. Looking at verse 9 of Revelation 22. Then saith he unto me, start with verse 8 here. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Verse 9. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. May God add his rich blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's just bow forward a prayer. Dear God, we do worship thee. We come before thee and praise thee. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Thou art our creator. You have created us and not we ourselves. You are the creator. And we just give you all the praise and glory and honor. You are also the provider. You provide for us physically. You let the rain fall on the just and on the unjust. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. We just thank thee for all thy goodness, but mostly for thy spiritual provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to Scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day according to Scriptures, on the first day of the week, becoming our Sabbath rest, although him being in thy economy slain from the foundation of the world, because you're outside of time, and yet you are true to thy word. You were promised the Savior. You promised the Savior to Adam and Eve, the first people that walked this earth. You promised salvation through the Savior, the seed of the woman, and Jesus Christ did come as prophesied. And we look backward as those in the Old Testament look forward. We look backward to that Lamb that was slain and shed his blood willingly on the cross to pay for our sins. And we just pray for anybody here that has not trusted Jesus Christ for their salvation, that even thy Holy Spirit would be working in their life, even if they're young people, might even come to the knowledge, a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray these things and to all thy honor, the honor and thy glory, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Oh, please be seated. Thank you. And so now in chapter 22, beginning in verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And so we understand that from chapter 1. We understand that the Revelation, now in my Bible, like written, printed, and it's not the inspired part of it, it's just the publisher has written on the title of the book, The Revelation of St. John the Divine, but St. John wasn't divine, that's an old term of respect, but so I've crossed that out, the divine. Because really, the first verse, which is inspired of God, by God, by the Holy Spirit of God, to John, it says in verse 1, the revelation of who? The revelation of Jesus Christ. So, actually, it's kind of a double meaning in a way. It's revealing about Jesus Christ, but it's also, Jesus Christ is the living word, so it's the revelation from him, by him, and also revelation about him. And the things of the past and the present and the future. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God gave this revelation to his Son, his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, And we know, we don't believe what some of these people believe, these preterists. They believe that everything in the Bible has been fulfilled in as of 70 AD. So 70 years after Christ, birth of Christ, they believe that at the destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, they believe that that's, everything here has been fulfilled. We don't believe that, at least that's what we're preaching here. As a normal reading of the scriptures, this is things that will come to pass, shortly come to pass, because the word shortly, it was very imminent that Jesus Christ would come the first time. It was imminent, meaning that it could happen at any time. All for 4,000 years. So we've only been waiting for 2,000 years. And the coming of the Lord, as we've seen in the past, we've read the scriptures, the New Testament saints believe that he would come, the rapture would come during their time. But they understood, and there was some false teaching. They said, oh, some of the people have died. Christ has already come. And then there's teaching that says, no, he has not already come. So the things have shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, all the things that he saw. So the book of Revelation, in verse 19, says, write these things which thou hast seen. That was the, he saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, those things that thou hast seen, and the things which are, and we believe that chapter 2 and chapter 3 are talking about the churches. Different churches are different levels of maturity, and we see that in the seven churches to this day. And then the things which are shall be hereafter, and so chapter 4 of Revelation opens up the whole view of the rapture that we're looking forward to, where the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us which remain will be caught up together to be with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then the second coming of Christ, we have seen in chapter 19 and following, where he comes not as a suffering servant, but as a conquering king. And we come along with him, as the armies in chapter 19, verse 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, but his vesture is dipped in blood. And it's not his blood, it's the blood of, it goes into detail about killing all those that have rejected him as being their Savior. And so, so then here we see that the angel is saying to John in chapter 22, verse 6, these sayings are faithful and true. So he's giving this verification again that what you've seen has been amazing and hard to believe. Some of the things that were hard to believe up to 100 years ago, because technically, how could it happen in the whole world? Now it can happen around the world in 1 hour. Some of these things that people said, well, 1 hour just kind of means a time, period of time, several years, whatever. With the way that things are going with computerization and then soon nanotechnology, the things that we thought 100 years ago could not happen can happen. And so people say, well, then that's not prophecy because it's, well, that can happen. Well, that's prophecy because it's being fulfilled before our eyes. And so the angel is saying, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And so, verse 7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. So the seventh blessing There's seven blessings in Revelation, and here we see this blessing for those that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And for the most part, it's looking for the return of our Savior and being faithful, being ready for when He comes. His will for us is our sanctification. His will for us is to be set apart for His glory and for His honor. And so that's what sanctification means, to be set apart, to be holy, as He is holy. But we know we're sinners, although saved by grace. The holiness of Jesus Christ is imputed. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to those who have been born again. Verse 8, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." Verse 9, "Then he said unto me, See thou do it not." Don't fall down and worship an angel. "For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book." And that's, there's a colon there, and then it says, "Worship God." It's just a plain, right out statement, worship God. That is what we want to do, is worship God. Because He has saved us, those of us that are saved, we've accepted the payment for our sin. There's no work that we could do to earn it. It's a free gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's no work that you can do to keep it. There are some people that say, well, you can get saved, and then, oh, you sin, and then you lost it, and then you got to get it. If you get adopted into the family of God, you're adopted. Would you say to your adopted child, well, you didn't make your bed today, you're not my adopted child, until you make it, and then you go and make the bed, and then, oh, now you're my child again? The scripture is really clear that being born again is like being an adopted child of God. And He's good. God is good to His word. If you come to the place, see, this is the thing. If you come to the place where you understand that your sin is a terrible thing, it separates you from God. I was 7 years old when I came to that realization. The day before, I didn't have that realization. I thought I was a Christian. But that night, I was angry with God, and I was wondering, why am I angry with God? Well, because some usher wouldn't let me go forward to a counseling session, and I was angry with him, and I was angry with God. And that bothered me, because I did want to know God and to serve Him. What was this all about? Well, then my dad led me through scriptures that I had already memorized, but really concentrated on John chapter 3, where then for the first time I could see Nicodemus was asking those questions, and then Jesus said, "Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things?" And I thought, well, I've memorized a lot of scripture, and I really understand, you know, I've kind of soaked in a lot of good doctrine. What am I missing? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again? What's that? Well, Jesus Christ has paid the price for my sin. I recognize the Holy Spirit was able to reach into a self-righteous 7-year-old and point out to me that I was not righteous. I needed to have my sins forgiven. I needed the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed.
Amen.
And that means to be put onto my account. And so it's there. I've been saved. I received eternal life that night. And I thank God for it. And I've been growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even this fact that I'm preaching and I'm not the pastor, that's an answer to my prayer. In that I was struggling. As old as I am in my faith, I was struggling and praying to God for to help me. And, you know, I think Brother Arlen can attest to this, that studying to present the Word of God is a blessing to us and an admonition to us, a rebuke to us in many areas of our life. And we pray that as we present God's word, that it will be the same to you, so that each of us can be the kind of people that God would send a good pastor to.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be good if we could be rallying around a man of God that he also too is praying that God would give a church that he could pastor and lead us further into the truths that God wants us to know.
Amen.
That's exciting to think that, well, we just trust that God is, we're just trusting God for wisdom. And now pray for us on the pulpit committee, for Brother Darren and for Brother Arlen and for me, that we'd have wisdom to know what to do. Worship God. Worship God is to bow down, to honor, to exalt, to pay homage, to reverence. The Bible teaches us that only the Lord God of the Bible is to be worshipped. Not all the false gods in the world. Only the Lord God of the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is to be worshipped. Not even angels are to be worshipped. Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. If we worship based on the traditions of man, it'll be all in vain. Worship is in vain if it's based on the traditions of man instead of the Word of God. The written Word of God and Jesus Christ, the living Word, that the written Word of God has come from by His Holy Spirit. Worship must be in spirit and in truth. The world one day will worship the devil and his Antichrist. That is a bad thing. But we can worship God in music and with our offerings, and there'll be music in heaven. Now, some people say, well, I'm bored with music and whatever. It's a picture. Like, music can thrill the heart. There's something in heaven that is beyond our comprehension. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for them that love Him. Okay, so we can't comprehend it, but we get a taste, a foretaste of it when you're really thrilled with a song, a hymn of praise to God.
Amen.
How thrilling that'll be when that'll just be forever and ever. Praising God and just feeling that, just worshiping God and reigning with Him forever and ever. Worship is to bow down, to honor, to exalt, to pay homage. A number of scriptures. I'm just going to go through a number of scriptures, and so it may be too fast for you to write down, but it's something you can search just for worship. Genesis 24:52, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Here is Abraham's servant bowing himself before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Exodus 4:31, the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their affliction, that's when they were introduced to Moses, that Moses was going to be leading them out of bondage. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped. They worshipped the Lord that had visited the children of Israel. Exodus 12:27, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. You know, when we pray to God, we typically bow our head and we close our eyes, because we're trying to set aside distractions that would distract us, because we're worshiping God. We focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. We pray to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit. And so that is, these people bowed the head and worshiped. Exodus 24:1, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. So God is, the Lord God is telling them to come unto the Lord and worship afar off in that case. Exodus 33:10, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand in the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. Exodus 34:8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. Matthew 2:11. Here's some young people, at least when I was young, I just enjoyed thinking of these thoughts about the wise men. Matthew 2:11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. What are the three gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are expensive gifts. They were worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this first point that I want to make is only the Lord God of the Bible is to be worshipped. Oh, they were worshiping Jesus Christ. Was that correct? I'm telling you, it was correct. We'll see further from Scripture. Exodus 21. And God spake, and it's chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments, one of the statements of the Ten Commandments. And what, is there two others? Or one other, at least, of the summary of the Ten Commandments. So here, Exodus 20, a summary of the Ten Commandments. The first two commandments here. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Exodus 20, verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Don't make any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven above, that is in the above, or that's in the earth beneath, or in the water that is under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them. How many times have you seen, we go door to door knocking, and we see little Buddhas, little Eastern type religions, things, some smoking incense, some, now not so much here, but when you go on vacation, you go to some places where they've got statues and they have cigarette butts. Those cigarette butts are offerings. They make these cigarette offerings. That is not what is to be worshipped or bowed down to. Only the Lord God is to be worshipped. And that is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that we read about in the Bible. Exodus 34:14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Oprah Winfrey said that she decided not to become a... She wasn't a Christian, but she claimed she was, and then she converted to not be a Christian when she read that passage that God is a jealous God. Well, you know, saints, believers, the picture is that we're like a wife or the bride of Christ. Don't you want your husband to be a jealous husband? Because a jealous husband will protect you. And that's what God does for us. He protects us. He's jealous of his bride. The Lord Jesus Christ is jealous of his bride. That's a good thing, not a bad thing. So sometimes we use that word typically we'll use that, oh, that person is jealous, and be referring to something bad. But it can be a very good thing when the husband is very jealous of his wife and is protecting her and protecting his family and protecting his children, jealous of his children. And that's a good thing. And so that's a good example. Now, of course, we can know some bad examples where the jealousy is misplaced and it's for pride's sake and not allowing the wife or the children freedom. Lord Jesus Christ, give us all the freedom.
Yeah, amen.
It's a volitional choice. And of course, that's sometimes why it's so hard. Like it's supposed to all the time in this life. We want to be out of this life because it is so hard to be true to our Lord and Savior. And but He's faithful. He provides. He's jealous, and He's there. The Holy Spirit is there to help us in these times of need. 2 Kings 17:36. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, Him shall ye fear, and Him shall ye worship, and to Him shall ye do sacrifice. And then in the New Testament, Matthew 4:10. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. The Lord, He was quoting scripture when Satan came to tempt Him, as we all should when Satan comes to tempt us. Acts 10:25-26. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. So people are not to be worshipped. Only God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the only one to be worshipped. Jehovah God of the Old Testament there, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is God. Secondly, not even angels are to be worshipped. And that's the passage that we read here today in our opening, that I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. He had also done that earlier in Revelation, and we had read that earlier, where the angel had told him, Don't worship me, because I too am thy fellow servant. And only worship God. Thirdly, Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Matthew 2:11, we've already read that, where the wise men came and they offered, they worshipped him. They fell down and worshipped him, presented gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Matthew 8:2 says, And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Matthew 9:18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Matthew 14:33. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Matthew 15:24-25. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the house, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Remember when we discussed that? Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Much of what he talks about in prophecy pertains to Israel, because that is who he came to minister to. And he's saying this to the woman from Canaan, the Canaanitish woman, that was looking for healing for her daughter. And then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. So this Canaanitish woman came and worshipped the Lord Jesus, understanding that he is the Lamb that would take away the sin of the world. Matthew 18:26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. That's the parable pertaining to the ungrateful servant and the Lord being the pattern or figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 20:20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children and her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. She worshipped him. Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Matthew 28:9. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. That's the women that were at the tomb. Jesus met them, saying, "All hail," and they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Remember, we're only to worship God. Here they're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Every knee will bow. Some not willingly, those of us willingly. Hebrews 1:6. And again, he, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. The only begotten Son of God came as a sacrifice for our sins. And so Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. Fourthly, worship is in vain if it's based on the traditions of man instead of the word of God. Matthew 15:8-9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching the doctrines, for doctrines the commandments of men. But in vain they do worship. So there's some worship that is vain, fruitless, not effective. Mark 7:7-8. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. Fifthly, worship must be in spirit and in truth. And that reminds us of the woman at the well. She says, we worship in this mountain, and you worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said in John 4:22, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. How is it of the Jews? Jesus Christ, by his lineage. All those years, 4,000 years. It was imminent that the Lamb of God would come. It took 4,000 years. We've only been waiting 2,000 years for his soon return. All right. And so Jesus is saying salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, Jesus Christ was flesh and blood. And we know that he received worship. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He was a sinless flesh and blood, because he was not descended from the first Adam. He's the second Adam. His Father is God. And Mary, the Virgin, his mother. Sixthly, the world one day will worship the devil and his antichrist. Here's the sad part. We've discussed this in the past. Revelation 13:4. And they worship, because in chapter 13, that's the introduction of the antichrist and the false prophet. They're both called beasts in chapter 13. Antichrist and the false prophet. Chapter 13, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon and gave power unto the beast, or which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So they're quite impressed with the Antichrist. That's going to happen here. Verse 8 of the same chapter. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's why it's important today. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. If the Holy Spirit is talking with you about that, your need to be saved, today is the day of salvation. Talk with your parents. Talk with, well, firstly, pray to God. Help, ask Him what you should be doing. And your parents are there to help you. But the Word of God, you've memorized some verses. You've memorized some verses from the Word of God. What do those verses mean? Learn what the Word of God means. And the Holy Spirit will reveal it to you. Revelation 13:12. And He exerciseth all the power of the first beast. This is talking about the second beast, the false prophet. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Revelation 13:15. And He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Can you imagine what this beast, the image of the beast might be? I mean, this whole rush to have, I just read it yesterday, a whole rush to have, neural networks, artificial intelligence. There's another name for artificial intelligence. Some people are really impressed with the work of man, what man is able to do. Well, so am I, in some sense, but not as much as I'm impressed with God, with what God has done. His word, His written word is just amazing. To tell us where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going. What a blessing. And so, seventhly, we can worship with music and with offerings. And so, we didn't get onto the next few verses here, verses 10 through 15. But we run out of time talking about worshiping God. What a sad demonstration here in the U.S. They've had people bowing down to other people. Some of you, I can tell, you've seen that video, several videos. It's a terrible thing. But it's revealing. Those people that are bowing are people that, many of them, that hate the scriptures and say, well, I'm not going to bow to anyone. In fact, what was that fellow, the atheist that said, I think it was Dawkins, if you knew for sure that God was true and His word was true, would you serve Him? Would you give your life to Him? And he wouldn't. Many people that follow that man are people that will bow down to other and worship other people. It's coming, folks, in a big way. It's been here all along. The spirit of Antichrist has been in the world all along. Jesus told us. But we're talking about a time like the world has never seen before. Tribulation. Well, from the very beginning, how bad can it be? Well, we don't know because it's not happened.
Right.
What's going to happen is worse. We'll be gone. Chapter 4. We'll be gone. Those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But what do we do in the meantime? We worship God.
Amen.
And that's part of our sanctification. Because once we recognize His holiness, I was in the temple on the Lord's day, saw Him high and lifted up, and smoke filled the temple. And I'm just talking about Isaiah chapter 6.
Yes.
And just see just a glimpse of the glory of God. Exciting, folks. We're living in some very exciting times. I just want to encourage you. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by these scriptures of the end time. Worship God. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Dear God, we thank Thee for Thy word and how concise it is, how detailed it is in so many ways, and yet how veiled it is. It's revealed to those that love Thee, that are called according to Thy purpose, and they're spiritually discerned. Many people are dead in their trespasses and sins, as I was before I trusted Thee for salvation. I had memorized Scripture. I'd love thy word as much as I could as a lost person. I wanted to know thee, and thou wast faithful to me. You were faithful to me in providing just that usher that set me aside, and I was angry with him, but you knew what was happening, dear Lord. He may have been thy faithful servant at that point. Dear God, whatever, we just know that you have many ways, but there's only one way. There's many ways to catch our attention. There's only one way to thee, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one mediator between God and man, Christ Jesus. We just thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, he's ascended on high. We look forward to his soon return. We pray that thou would help us to dwell on some of these thoughts and recognize that only God is to be worshipped, and Jesus Christ is to be worshipped, because he is God. He is one with thee, one with the Father, the three in one. God the Father, God the Holy, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three in one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. We thank thee for this. In Christ's name we pray, amen.